You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the midweek Premier League fixtures as the outstanding games in hand all get completed ahead of the final round of Premier League games on Sunday. Sam Norris here, and joining me in the studio is Dave Kellner to look ahead to the midweek matches. How are you, Dave?
I'm well, I'm good. It is the most disappointing end to a Premier League season that I can recall. But apart from that, everything is fine and dandy at the moment, Sam. And we can only endeavour to pick out winners, despite things being sorted towards the top and bottom of the Premier League table.
Yeah, relegation is decided. The title has been decided. Spurs are confirmed in second. All that's really left to play for is the top four. And even those positions, Liverpool and Manchester City, look as though it's very much in their hands, and it's up to them to throw it away, if you like. Before we get on to the games, Dave, Chelsea, has the best team won the league?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. I think they've been tremendous. I think it's the way Antonio Conte's got the best out of players that have been fringe players in lesser teams in the past. Marcus Alonso,
massive one.
And Victor Moses as well. Yeah. So those two are the two standouts. Chelsea have been, they went on that incredible run. I think Antonio Conte has revitalised them to a certain extent as well. So definitely deserved champions. I think the what sort of makes it underwhelming is the fact that the teams in behind them haven't really challenged. I think Spurs have overachieved this season under Mauricio Pochettino, but Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal and Manchester United all, to a certain extent, disappointing, particularly the two teams from Manchester, City and United, with Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho coming in the summer and spending all that money as well, and to not challenge Chelsea and to be 15 points and 22 points adrift of them at this stage of the season is disastrous, really.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of Mourinho fans will point to the fact that he's had success in the League Cup and are looking to win the Europa League a week on Wednesday as well. But in my opinion, that's still not good enough. And these two sides should be challenging for top honours in the Premier League. And they've not come close to the pace that Chelsea have set throughout the season.
Okay, scathing assessment on the Manchester clubs there. And conversely, have the worst three teams gone down as well?
No, I think the team that should be in there that aren't in there are Watford.
Right.
In my opinion, they are the third worst side
after
in the Premier League after Sunderland and Middlesbrough, and they should be in the relegation zone. And as listeners to the popular Weekend Punt podcast with Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin will be aware, that will be my first bet placed in the summer, Watford to be relegated next season. Every time I see them, they look worse. they're an appalling side, and they have slipped. I mean, I was saying this when they were 10th in the league, Watford, that they should be going down and struggling for survival, and they're now 16th in the league. That's a better reflection of where they stand as a football club, as far as I'm concerned. Watford fans, I'm sorry, you are going to get relegated next season.
I thought your assessment on Manchester was scathing. Even worse for Watford. It is with Watford that we start the podcast this week. Monday night's game, Chelsea versus Watford then at Stamford Bridge. 1-4 about Chelsea, 5-1 the draw. Watford are in the betting at 10-1. A whole host of enhanced odds for this match. Been through a couple. Cesc Fabregas to score in a Chelsea win. That was 2-1. It's now 5-2. And if you fancy the other side of it, Troy Deeney to score in a Watford win, that was 22-1 and is now 33-1. Chelsea wants 4 in front of their own fans, will be keen to put on a good performance despite the fact that the title has been wrapped up. You've already mentioned that you've been less than impressed with Watford this season, and they probably are lucky that the Premier League season isn't going a few more weeks, otherwise they could be in serious trouble. And it's been a long time since they've scored a goal away from home as well, Watford.
Yeah, it's a long time since they've scored full stop, both at home or away from home. Last win came against Swansea in mid-April. I watched that performance at Spurs. I know they're going to Spurs and White Hart Lane, but it was abject. They were terrible defensively, a shambles at the back, and they got beat 4-0 on that occasion. Away from home, they've lost 6 straight without scoring. At home, They've lost a couple without scoring as well. I think it's four straight without scoring they've lost Watford. And this should be a comprehensive Chelsea win. The only slight reservation I've had is when Antonio Conte has wrapped up the title in the past at Juventus, he's then rested players and brought his squad players into... I get that feeling, you know, that feeling of being champions. And Michy Batshuayi obviously scored the winning goal in... That was only his third shot on target in the competition this season.
Wow.
That stat comes from Opta. And it was his first since September the 24th, 2016.
First shot on target since September.
In that 1-0 win, which sealed the title at West Brom last week. So... I think he'll give Michy Batshuayi maybe a chance in this game, even though he came off the bench and scored that goal. And that's the slight reservation I've got with looking at Chelsea on the big handicaps here to win 3-4, 5-0 in this game. I do think they will win 2-0 though, and that's a very, very good price as far as I'm concerned. Chelsea to win 2-0. It was 23-20 when I looked earlier. It's into 11-10 now, which I still think is a fair price for them to beat a side that are just not scoring goals at the moment. And as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, I think what's impressed me most about Chelsea this season is the way that Antonio Conte has got the best out of players that have been fringe and squad players at lesser teams.
Yeah.
And they have now come into this side and helped them win the championship. Victor Moses, Marcus Alonso, the two that stand out. And he's managed to get a competent centre-half display each and every week from David Luiz which is no mean feat. So I don't think Victor Moses has come in and thought and suddenly started playing above himself and better than he's ever played in his career. I think he's been moulded into this roaming wing-back in Antonio Conte's vision. So I think that's been impressive for him. And if Chelsea play a strong side, they'll waltz through this. If they play a weak side, they'll win 1-0 or 2-0. So the best bet, in my opinion, has to be for Chelsea to win the game 2-0 in this, and it's 11-10. And look at the team news, see who starts up front. If Batshuayi starts, I'll look for him to score a goal. I'm not sure Diego Costa or Eden Hazard are going to start in this game, but if they do, they're obvious goal scorers as well. Eden Hazard at even money in front of his home fans looks good to me if he starts the game. But Antonio Conte in the past, he has had a habit of resting players once the title has been sealed when he's been in Italy. So that's the slight concern as far as the bets on Chelsea to win 4 or 5-0 are concerned.
Yeah, he's been quite vocal as well in his desire to win the double. So I know we're a couple of weeks away from that FA Cup final, but why would you risk getting your star names injured in what is almost a dead rubber?
Absolutely. If Chelsea win this match, by the way, they'll reach 48 points at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League this season. That will be exactly double the tally they won last season at home. All these stats, by the way, that I reel off on this podcast, they come from Opta, and I don't give Opta enough credit on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll try to do better in future, but all these stats are from Opta. That's a good one, though, and it shows you how Chelsea have progressed under Conte. They clearly weren't happy with Mourinho at the back end of last season. So Conte's come in and he's revitalised them.
Indeed. Chelsea win 2-0, then the selection for Dave in that Chelsea versus Watford game on Monday night. On to Tuesday night's fixtures. Then a couple of them to come on Tuesday, beginning with Arsenal versus Sunderland. This is a 7:45 kickoff at the Emirates. Arsenal 1-10 in the betting here. It's 8-1 about the draw. Sunderland are 25-1. This is a good chance for Arsenal to try and put a little bit of pressure on those sides above them in the table. Manchester City play on Tuesday night as well. They could go level on points with City if they were to lose to West Brom. But crucially, they'd go level on games with Liverpool and go 1 point behind Liverpool, which could put a little bit of pressure on Liverpool. I have to say, though, the way this is priced, DK, I don't suppose the traders can do it any other way, but 1-10 versus 25-1 for two teams in the same league. And it's Arsenal as well, who seem to find ways of making it difficult for themselves. You have to be creative to get a bet out of this game, because 1-10, I wouldn't want to play that if it was Bayern, and this is not Bayern.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. I think you look at these prices and they're skewed so heavily in Arsenal's favour. When is enough as far as Arsenal are concerned? Where do you draw the line here? And I think at 1-10, that line in the sand has been drawn. Yeah. I would not be a backer of Arsenal at 1 to 10. I wouldn't put them in an accumulator at 1 to 10 to boost the price up either, because I think they've been slightly flattered recently, Arsenal. And they might be without Alexis Sanchez in this game as well. And he is their talisman. He is their best player by a distance, as far as I'm concerned. And he hobbled off despite scoring and assisting one at the weekend away at Stoke, in which they won the game 4-1. He went off in that match. And whether or not he's risked in this game with the FA Cup final to come as well is open to debate here. So team news vitally important ahead of this fixture. But as I mentioned, they've been flattered because Manchester, that performance against Manchester United at the Emirates, Manchester United didn't, I was going to say didn't try a leg, but he put out that weakened side.
Yeah.
And then they sat with six at the back and tried to defend. Arsenal eventually prevailed in the match with goals from Granit Xhaka, that deflected goal off the back of Ander Herrera, and then Danny Welbeck scoring against his former club as well. And at the weekend, Stoke City have fallen off a cliff, haven't they?
Yeah.
They have been abysmal recently. So Arsenal slightly flattered by winning that game 4-1 as well. In between that, they went to Southampton. Good performance away from home against Southampton to win 2-0. Goals from Alexis Sanchez and Olivier Giroud. And that brings me on to the bet. I think that Olivier Giroud is a good bet to score first here at 13-5.
Yeah.
I was thinking about backing him to score any time, but when I saw 1-2, it put me off. And 2 or more is a little bit short at 21-10 as well. So I'll settle for first goal scorer. He got the first goal at the weekend away from home against Stoke. He's a striker that is definitely a confidence player. If you look back through his career, he tends to score his goals in clumps. It's happened with Arsenal this season as well. Gets 2, 3, 4 in a run, and then you won't see hide nor hair of him for 6 weeks. And that's happening here as well. He scored in his last couple of games, that goal against Stoke, and got the last goal in that game against Southampton as well. And he's looking to become the third player to score 50 goals at the Emirates in all competitions.
Right.
Robin van Persie and Theo Walcott, the other two. And he's also just 2 goals short of his 100 for Arsenal in all competitions as well. So a couple of landmarks that he's looking for at the end of the season, Giroud. He scored 4 times in his last 4 games in all competitions against Sunderland, so got a good record against Sunderland, including twice from the bench, those with his first 2 touches in the reverse fixture. So I think he's going to get the nod and start this game, Olivier Giroud. So I'll go for him to score first at 13-5, but I wouldn't put anyone off throwing a few quid at Sunderland at 25-1 in this game, just because the price looks massive.
Yeah. Yeah, for two teams in the same league, almost regardless of the circumstances, no one should really ever be 25-1, should they?
There's just very little, if you're looking at this logically,
yeah,
to recommend Sunderland. That's the problem you've got here. But at 25-1, you need next to nothing. And the fact that these two teams are in the same league,
it'll be 11-11.
Yeah, precisely, all the cliches. Yeah. But Sunderland may be a touch overpriced at 25-1, and I wouldn't back Arsenal at 1-10 in this match.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Olivier Giroud to score first, the recommendation then at 13-5. The other game on Tuesday night then comes up in the shape of Man City versus West Brom. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff for this one. City 1-7 in the betting, 13-2 about the draw. West Brom at 20-1. Another away side in West Brom who don't have a great deal to play for, but look massive at 20-1. But City will know that 3 points here will all but seal the top four for them, barring a goal swing on the final day in Arsenal's favour, which at time recording would need to be 5 goals at the moment, depending on what happens midweek. But 3 points here for City, that'll pretty much be them into the Champions League next year, which when Guardiola came in was an absolute minimum requirement. And over the last few weeks, it's just been teetering on them maybe not making it. So they'd like to get over the line on Tuesday night and can do that pretty much with 3 points against the West Brom side, who have nothing really to play for.
Yeah, they can. They can. And I was listening to Robbie Savage's podcast. He records a podcast called Fred Sav and the Ping Pong Guy or something like that, I think it's called.
Something along those lines.
It's a good podcast, very good podcast. It's on BBC Five Live. And they were talking about underrated and overrated. That was one of the topics they came up with. And Robbie Savage went with Pep Guardiola as overrated. And on the basis of just this one season, you'd have to say that's correct.
Yeah.
He's never really been tested in his managerial career because he took over an incredible set of players at Barcelona and then went to Bayern Munich when Jupp Heynckes had won the...
Everything.
Yeah, everything. He won the treble that season before. So he inherited a brilliant side at Bayern Munich. And this is the first time he's gone to a club. They didn't play in the style he was accustomed. And he's maybe not got the personnel there that he wants either. And it's been a test this season. And I think the test has been that in the German leagues and the Spanish league, to a certain extent, you get some free passes on occasion.
Yeah.
I think he's found it difficult that the intensity in the Premier League, and people are going to be tweeting me saying the absolute nonsense, the Premier League's nowhere near as good as the other leagues. And in terms of quality, I've got a tendency to agree. I think the quality has been down in the Premier League this season, but because of that, it's been more competitive, especially in the middle block of that table. I mean, from 8th to 20th, there's very little between those two set of sides, really. And for the first time in his career, he's tried to make a team play differently. It's not worked perfectly. And he's got ageing players and players that he's not satisfied with, particularly in those wide areas, I think. In the full-back positions, Pablo Zabaleta looks like he's going to be on his way to West Ham in the summer. I think he'll try and get rid of Bakary Sagna and Gael Clichy as well. So it'll be a complete change there. You've got Yaya Toure, who isn't going to be playing at his most potent every single time he steps on the pitch. He's going to need breaks if he is there next season. And the one thing that surprised me most of all, more than Joe Hart being shipped out, because I think Joe Hart is... a keeper with frailties, in all honesty. And I know it's not worked bringing either Willy Caballero or Claudio Bravo in his stead. But the Torino management team, I think it was the chairman made a... Don't quote me on this, listeners. It's not verbatim, but the Torino chairman said, with Joe Hart going to the club, he was asked to assess Joe Hart's season. And he said, he's done some good things... but he's made a lot of mistakes that we wouldn't expect from an England number one.
Yeah.
So I think that's how, with Joe Hart, he's going to make errors, and his distribution wasn't what Pep Guardiola wanted. So he's gone in a different direction. That's not surprised me. The one thing that surprised me this season is how he's marginalised Sergio Aguero.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I think he is still... the best striker in the Premier League.
He seems desperate to make Gabriel Jesus the main man at every single opportunity. And Aguero only really came back into the fold when Jesus got injured, to be fair.
Yeah, I find it incredible. Because I think
will
he's
he
a superstar.
Will he be looking to move away in the summer, Aguero?
I think it's...
A player of his quality can't possibly want to play second fiddle to Gabriel Jesus.
He will want to know that he's going to be in that starting 11 when he's fit, Aguero. I don't think Guardiola will give him that assurance. So I think that if he is sold, he will go overseas because you couldn't possibly sell Aguero to a Premier League rival. But it's going to be fascinating to see if Aguero's there next season. I'm sure there will be wholesale changes in the summer. The checkbook will be out, and he'll make a load of moves in the transfer window, and there'll be the expectation next season that they'll win the title.
Yeah.
They've got to win the Premier League title, Manchester City, next season. That's what Guardiola will be thinking anyway. They've not reached the heights they expected this season. And even though they should roll over West Brom, you thought when they were 2-0 up at the weekend against Leicester City, they were going to win 3-4, possibly even 5-0. And if Riyad Mahrez doesn't slip and hit it with his left foot onto his right foot and into the top corner and give away a free kick like that from the penalty spot, that game might end up 2-2. And then City's top four players would be under real threat. So this game's just difficult to call because City have got a good record at the Etihad, last 11 Premier League matches. They've won 7 and drawn 4. So they're looking to go 12 unbeaten at home. I don't think it will be a complete cakewalk for Manchester City. I've actually looked at the handicap markets here, and I like the handicap tie, Man City minus 2, handicap tie, Man City minus 3. Because I think the scoreline will end 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 4-2, something like that in this game. So I'm looking at splitting my stakes on those. Handicap tie, Man City minus 2 goals, West Brom plus 2 goals, Man City minus 3 goals, West Brom plus 3 goals. I think City win, but not by a ridiculous margin here.
Okay, so City to win by exactly 2 or 3 goals. Split stakes then, the choice for DK. In that Man City West Brom match, let's go on to Wednesday night's fixture then. Southampton take on Manchester United at St Mary's. 13-8 about Southampton, 11-5 for the draw here, and Manchester United at 7-4. How do you see them lining up, first of all, against this Southampton side?
It's tough to know, and I had this conversation with... I mentioned Robbie Savage twice on the podcast already, but I spoke to...
Do you know
him,
Robbie Savage, do you?
I know Robbie Savage, yeah. I've spoke to him a couple of occasions about this, and this morning we talked about it, Monday morning recording this.
Yeah.
We talked about it, and he said he thinks that all those players are going to be rested again. They were all rested, all those players, but... the key personnel for Mourinho, basically Marcus Rashford, Paul Pogba,
yeah,
and a couple of the guys in the wider, Antonio Valencia, they were rested. So I think you talk about Mourinho resting players. I think basically the two that he's trying to protect, or the three that he's trying to protect, are Henrik Mkhitaryan, Marcus Rashford and Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
But Rashford came on as a sub. Henrik Mkhitaryan came on as a substitute as well in that 2-1 loss against Spurs. And Paul Pogba didn't feature in that match. If he doesn't play any of them in this match, you can only assume that he's not going to play them in Manchester United's last game of the season in the Premier League. That's at home to Crystal Palace. If they don't play in that match, they'll have gone 2 weeks without any competitive football from that that second leg against Celta Vigo to the final against Ajax in Stockholm. That's not enough game time, as far as I'm concerned. So I'd expect, maybe not for them to play the full 90 minutes, Pogba, Rashford, Mkhitaryan, but get some game time under their belt here so they are match sharp and fit for that game against Ajax, that crucial match a week on Wednesday. So I hope he puts out a stronger side than he did against Spurs.
Yeah. How likely do you think that is, though? I don't think very.
No. You think he'll play a weak side again?
Yeah, I do, definitely. Now that the top four's gone as well.
All that talk about the fixture list, though, at each and every press conference, it's become boring and monotonous from Mourinho. He's been given a hell of a lot of leeway by the press this season, I think.
Yeah.
The way Van Gaal and Moyes, they had better win percentages in their time at Manchester United than Mourinho's got right now. He's got off scot-free as far as I'm concerned.
And there's that stat, isn't there, that they've played no more games than Real Madrid this season, who are competing for La Liga in the Champions League final. And they're the levels that Manchester United expect to be. And Real Madrid have had a very similar calendar in terms of just pure number of games played this season. And Zinedine Zidane isn't moaning about the schedule.
And to just go out and defend,
yeah,
I think is a bit embarrassing with the supposed talent in this team as well. And they spent £150 million more than Liverpool in the summer. They finished above Liverpool last season. They're going to finish below them this season. I don't think it's been good. They look much better as well when he plays with a more attacking formation. We saw that at the weekend against Spurs. When he doesn't play with that stupid back six with whoever the wide players are, it was a couple of games ago, it was Mkhitaryan and Mata playing wide, and when they had the ball, they'd go forward, but when they didn't have the ball, they'd retreat into a back six. It's not pleasing on the eye. It's not work, and when it doesn't work, you just look stupid, in all honesty. And Anthony Martial's looked good when he's been given opportunities as well in recent games. So he'll look to have an impact in this game. Probably start up front, and he does look better when he drops onto the left hand side. Anthony Martial and picks up the ball and cuts inside. I've no idea what I'm feeling here because I've got no idea about this game. I don't know what to expect, in all honesty. Claude Puel's made some decisions as well recently, dropping Manolo Gabbiadini. He wasn't even in the squad for the weekend match. Southampton have been backed here. I think the draw is the likeliest result. So I'll go with the draw at 11-5 as my bet in this game. We've not talked much about Southampton. I think Claude Puel's done pretty well this season, in all honesty. I'm surprised there is talk in some quarters about his position being under threat, because they're ninth in the league, Southampton. And given that they are a selling club, Southampton, they can't expect to regenerate each and every season when they sell their best players. Another club will be in for Virgil van Dijk in the summer.
Yeah.
So he's going to leave. So they're going to have to fill that void. And you can't keep bringing in high-quality players for peanuts and selling on your best players. It won't work in the long run. And, I think they will finish bottom half next season, Southampton.
Okay.
And Manolo Gabbiadini, after his purple patch when he arrived at the club, he's gone missing. So it'll be interesting to see who he starts up front. Jay Rodriguez is a player that I really like. He's 2-1 to score any time. If he can have a prolonged spell, whilst fit.
That's absolutely key for him.
Yeah, it is because he's not had enough game time over the last two seasons. So yeah. I'm going with the draw at 11-5 in this one.
11-5 draw then, Southampton versus Manchester United. That is Wednesday's game. On to Thursday night now. Leicester take on Spurs at 7:45. 16-5 here for Leicester. The draw is 5-2, and Tottenham in the betting at 17-20. They've confirmed second place in the league, Spurs. Before we come on to this game in greater detail, successful season from a Spurs perspective?
I think they've overachieved.
Do you?
Yeah,
I do.
We mentioned this earlier. I think getting up to 80 points in the league has been a success for Mauricio Pochettino. And the key for them is keeping their stars in the summer. Hopefully they will be able to. And also moving away from White Hart Lane, which has been a fortress this season, is definitely going to be a negative, and it could impact considerably.
And given what we've seen of them at Wembley in the Champions League this year, things didn't go well. It wasn't a happy hunting ground for them.
And I'm no aficionado on atmosphere in stadiums, but when all the reports were written after the last game at White Hart Lane against Manchester United, there was a suggestion that this is one of the last bastions of unbelievable atmospheres week in, week out. It doesn't matter who they're playing. It doesn't matter whether or not the match warrants the atmosphere. They just get it every single week at White Hart Lane. So that's going to be impossible to recreate at Wembley. It could have a negative impact on their chances of winning the title next season, which is a shame, because if they were at White Hart Lane next season and Pochettino managed to keep this group of players together, they would have a very, very good chance of winning the title.
Do you think sooner or later they're going to need a bit of silverware to underline this new Spurs, this resurgent Spurs, this Spurs that challenged for the title? Almost in a reverse to what, you know, the Arsenal fans, the Manchester United fans, they're not happy with winning an FA Cup, a League Cup.
Mm.
But do you think at some point Spurs are going to need to win a trophy? Even if it is one of the domestic trophies.
I think either win a trophy or progress to the knockout stages of the Champions League and have a good run in the Champions League, one or the other. But it is absolutely vital they keep their stars in the summer. I'm sure there will be teams sniffing around after Dele Alli.
Yep.
There have been rumours that Real Madrid are going to make a move for Dele Alli in the summer. It will be difficult for Spurs to resist that move. When Real Madrid came in for Gareth Bale, there was an inevitability about it that
Luka
he was
Modric
going to leave.
Well.
Luka Modric as well. So if they come in for Dele Alli, it's going to be tough for him to turn that move down and for Spurs to turn down the cash on offer as well. I think Harry Kane's future is not under threat. I think he will be at Spurs next season. He seems to want to stay at Spurs no matter what. Other key players, Christian Eriksen, I think has been crucial to their success this season. And Toby Alderweireld, if a big club, Spurs are a big club now, but if a Galactico comes in for Toby Alderweireld, they need to keep those players. I think Dele Alli, Toby Alderweireld, Christian Eriksen and Harry Kane are the keys to Spurs. If they can keep those players at the club, they will have a chance to challenge for the title again next season. They have challenged this season as well. But that move to from White Hart Lane to Wembley tempers my enthusiasm as far as putting my cash down on them to win the title next year.
Okay. Fair enough. In terms of this game against Leicester, then 17-20 for Spurs, which ordinarily wouldn't look a bad price, but there's a hint of season over for them. Well, not a hint of season over. The season is over for them in terms of challenging for something. But ordinarily, was this another week of the season? You say 17-20 for Spurs. No, they're away from home against Leicester, who've been better. But the 17-20 would have probably appealed to me a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think Mauricio Pochettino will let them lay down either and relax in this game. And I think the thing is, Spurs, there's no real reason why they should rest players here, is there?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll just play their full-strength side and hope they perform. But there isn't any incentive. So they're bound to be a little bit under what they usually would be, because they won't be primed for this game, those Spurs players. I think Leicester City have finished the season very strongly under Craig Shakespeare. You look at that home form as well. He's won all five of his home Premier League games as manager, Craig Shakespeare. I actually think Leicester City are slightly overpriced in this game here. Yeah, I do. I think 16-5 is a decent price for Leicester. But the bet that I like most is both teams to score in the match at 8-13.
Okay.
I don't envisage this being tight. I don't think there's any reason why it would be tight. Both teams will play open, expansive football here. And if Spurs win this match, they would actually go past the points tally achieved by Leicester City last season when they won the Premier League. Leicester won it with 81 points last season. Spurs currently on 80 points. And you're looking for a man in form as far as the goals are concerned. Harry Kane is the man. He's even money to score any time. And when you consider that he's got 22 in his last 25 Premier League appearances for Spurs, and he's looking to chase down Romelu Lukaku for that golden boot. Lukaku's on 24 but hasn't looked like scoring. Kane is chasing him down. There's certainly incentive for Harry Kane to perform in this match. So even money Harry Kane to score anytime looks decent to me as well.
Good stuff. Dave's thoughts then on the Leicester versus Spurs match coming up. Thank you for that, DK. Plenty of Premier League football to come then throughout the course of this week. Do head to the Audio Boom page and check out all of William Hill's podcasts on a wide variety of sports and in-play radio live every day from 6:30 p.m. This week. And they'll be covering all of these Premier League games in depth, plus all the rest of the sport as well. Thank you very much for that, Dave, and enjoy the football this week.
Thank you, sir.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.